led to today. Let's take another moment and rise through this buffet. Cold beer on a hot plate, gonna set ourselves to eat. Once more we slip into the past, we'll be
evening and welcome. This is Jack,
Donna,
Becky,
and Jeff,
and we are doomed to reheat. Welcome, everybody. Let's date stamp this thing. It is January 20th, 2017.
You know, George is hungry today,
and we are, well, I don't want to say celebrating. Tonight is not celebration night. I don't think tonight is a night for joyous and wonderful things. Tonight is a night for reflection on how it is we got to this place, January 20th, 2017.
Wait, sober reflection?
Sober reflection,
oh,
no.
No.
No. No, Jeff and I are about to pop into the Unibrow Terrible, which is a bottle re-fermented dark ale on lees, ale brewed with spices, 10.5% alcohol.
Whoa.
Yeah, feel that cork come out. Last week our corks didn't do that. This has got some to it.
God damn.
Oh, that's a wonderful color.
Oh, this is as dark as anything we could imagine. Well, maybe not. We can imagine a lot of dark things.
It looks like root beer.
I bet it tastes exactly like root beer. You should taste it and say, oh, that root beeriness.
A-W.
From the folks at Unibrow. They're Canadian. Ooh. We've had the Terrible before, I think.
Quite a change from the pepper beer.
Quite a change from the pepper beer last week. Thank you all, fine folks at Stone Brewing, for that. We enjoyed it. Particularly the next day. Unibrow is out of Chambly, Quebec, Canada.
Oh.
And this particular bottle is best drank before June 3rd of 2019. So we're going to beat that date handily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just stopped into my room. I think all hell is about to break loose.
Well, we will allow hell to break loose. We will go, oh, hell, how are you? We've missed you. How nice to see you again. All right, so Jeff, you had a lot of trouble this week.
I didn't get the right answer. I know.
He knows he didn't get the right answer. You said there were like five things that the crazy train clue might have run for you.
Oh. There's a nurse in the house.
Uh-huh. Doing nursey things. Hello, nurse.
Okay. In 1885.
Uh-huh.
The roller coaster was patented.
By whom?
I didn't write down who patented the roller coaster.
Oh, so somebody came up with an idea of putting a thing on a track that goes all crazy, twisty, turny, and it feels like a train, and you thought that's what I was speaking of.
Yeah.
And we were going to have roller coaster food.
Well, we thought...
So theme park food?
Ah, right, carnival food. We could do turkey legs and funnel cakes. Absolutely, I can make a funnel cake.
I don't think I've had one since my last trip to Disney World.
Oh, well, we should make funnel cakes. Absolutely. But we're not doing that tonight because, no, it's not the patenting of the roller coaster. As wonderful as that is. No, tonight is a night for reflection on how dark things can get, Jeff.
Oh. In 1887, the ACLU was founded.
The American Civil Liberties Union?
Yes, sir.
They're certainly going to be very busy over the next couple of years. Yeah, all of them ACLU lore type doing things. But I don't think I could put together a lawyer-based feast. Maybe I could.
Well, we'd have to you know
how to cook a lawyer. We could cook a tort.
Or we could cook a lawyer.
No,
they're kind of gamey.
You think?
No, you stick the lawyers at the bottom of the ocean, right?
Shark steaks.
Absolutely. Then we eat the shark steaks. Get some shark fin soup.
Oh, that's wrong.
Seasoned with wingtips.
In 1888, mm-hmm. the Mersey Railroad Tunnel opened.
Where is the Mersey Railroad Tunnel?
In England.
Okay, why is that special? What's important about Mersey? I mean, we could have a bunch of British food, right?
It's a river, right? Isn't it?
The Mersey River?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some British, well, maybe. British are not categorically merciful people. Oh, here's brutal bastards.
Here's one for Becky. Mm-hmm. In 1908, the Sullivan Ordinance passed that stopped women from smoking in public. Just saying.
Yes. Never smoke on the street, baby. Used to be against the law.
In 1942,
mm-hmm.
the Wannsee Conference was held.
Yes, it was.
And the final solution was proposed.
Yes, to put a bunch of Jews on trains and send them east to work camps where they will be labored until the point that they can labor no more. Yes, that is something that we're going to be talking about tonight. But it is not the only thing that we're going to be talking about tonight.
We have an oven. We could have.
I am cooking things in the oven,
oh,
Jeff.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
That's I'm so sorry. Wrong.
I'm sorry.
Send your hate mail.
And two more things.
Mm-hmm.
In 1986, the tunnel was proposed.
Proposed?
Yeah.
Someone said, hey, we should send a tunnel under the ocean and tunnel to each
we
other.
We should build a tunnel underneath the English.
Don't know how they do that. Right? You'd think they're, I mean, it's a tunnel, so it's open. Right? So until you connect the two sides, you're working in water, right?
Well, no, they start in dry land and they don't. Have you ever seen the tunnel borer?
Mm-mm.
It's a huge machine that spins around and cuts a tunnel. And as it cuts the tunnel, it lays the liner.
Okay.
Behind it.
Well, that's lovely.
And in 1930, Charles Lindbergh flew cross country across the United States in 14 hours and 45 minutes.
Well, that's a crazy plane. Absolutely.
I thought too.
Yeah, no. No, the thing that you missed, which is the most delightful thing, although we will be talking about the Wannsee Convention here in a while. In 1982, in Des Moines, Iowa, at a performance in front of thousands of people, Ozzy Osbourne
The
head off a bat.
I don't want to have dinner tonight.
Well, on that note, talk amongst yourselves. I got to put together a plate.
The first thing that comes to my mind is that episode of South Park where he bit off Kenny's head.
That was a joke on that incident.
They had Ozzy Osbourne bite the head off of Kenny?
Yeah. Well, I didn't actually watch the episode. I just watched a contemplation of a bunch of times when Kenny got killed in different ways.
And that was one of them.
Yeah, Kenny dies a lot. Kenny's good at it.
Oh my God, they killed Kenny.
You bastards!
Hi, Miss Sadie. Who came to say hi? Would you like to say hi? Say a word to your fans?
Oh. I have to throw a shout out to the cast of The Secret Garden.
Yeah, I'm surprised you hadn't thrown that shout out yet.
No, it needs to be said. They open tonight. I hope they have a great show. Break a leg, all you guys and girls.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you know who wrote the lyrics for that show?
For A Secret Garden?
Yeah.
No.
Lucy Simon.
Is that Paul's daughter,
no,
wife?
That's Carly's sister.
Carly's sister.
Ah, see, too many Simons in the world.
Well, maybe we should get rid of some of them.
You mean we need to come up with some kind of final solution for the Simon problem?
Yeah.
Oh. Look at that. Oh, who's got the pretty plate?
Oh,
I arrange things differently on each one.
Oh.
Oh, I think I got the pretty one. Look at me. Come on, don't do this. So what I have put in front of y'all, and am now am picturing, are bat wings. Now, they are not literally wings of a bat. Because I couldn't source those, at least not in the amount of time that I had available. Maybe I could have gone online, I don't know. But this is a chicken wing recipe. A chicken wings are marinated in a sugar soy sauce garlic powder solution for several hours, then baked in said solution, then the solution poured out, concentrated, while we continually reglaze the wings in the last 5-6 minutes of finishing to turn this into an icky, sticky, geeky, batty mess.
They're hot.
Good though. They're hot. Oh, that is a solid sauce.
Well, what were the components again?
Well, I used, 3/4 cup of soy sauce, 1/4 cup of Worcestershire sauce, 3/4 cup of white sugar, 1/4 cup brown sugar, about a tablespoon of garlic powder.
So you managed to get more Worcestershire.
We did get more Worcestershire sauce up in this bitch. Oh. The end of the world that we are experiencing today has not yet impacted supplies of Worcestershire sauce.
Yet.
Yeah, I'm not saying it won't.
Wings are so hard to eat.
Mm. They're so hard to eat neatly. If you don't care about being covered in guck. All it's going to take is one sad sack that lives in Worcestershire, England, to make a rude tweet about Trump. And it's the end of Worcestershire sauce in this country. He's going to declare war on it. The stocks of the companies are going to plummet as a bunch of angry white people declare war on Worcestershire sauce and a boycott of all Worcestershire-related products.
And just open the market up for domestic Worcestershire sauce.
Well, I think all Worcestershire sauce that we get now is domestic, right? Do you think they're going to have to rebrand it? They're going to give it a new name. They're going to call it Trump's best sauce.
Yeah.
He has all the best sauces. It's all over my fingers. It's all over my face. It's up in my beard and shit. We're going to need wet naps after this particular...
Or a fire hose.
Oh, this
was fun. You know, we just had an MLK Day celebration here a couple of days ago. I could have pulled out the fire hose, right? And could have sicked the dog on the cat.
What's wrong?
Or the cat on the dog.
I don't see Hazel as being much of a police dog.
She's not a sicker, right?
Be more likely to sick a cat on a dog.
Or a cat on another cat.
Boy, something happened last night out here. I don't know if you guys heard it.
I heard a kalump of a crush. And I'm like, no one's screaming. So they're either dead or unconscious or it's not a problem.
I believe I yelled, hey, knock it off, you idiots.
And did they?
No.
Right, what are you going to do?
Jump off the couch.
happened to me. Roll off the couch.
You keep using that word, Jeff.
It really doesn't mean what I think it means.
So was it a cat fight?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
And Hazel was probably laying over there going, oh God, just don't let him come over here.
Yeah.
Don't let him see me.
Mm-hmm. Hazel's all like, get out of my way. I need to get my coffee. But we were talking about Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes, we were.
Mm-hmm. Now, he did not intend to go on stage and bite the head off a bat. That was not his...
It was an accident.
It was. Now, in a year previous, there was some sort of PR meeting at his record label, and there was some asshole who decided they were going to release Doves at some sort of Ozzy Osbourne-related event, and Ozzy, you know, thought it was bullshit and was, you know, fucked out of his mind on, you know, liquor and cocaine and pills and God knows what else he was taking. And so he bit the head off of a dove. And when everyone was shocked and aghast, he grabbed another dove and bit the head off of that one. So he had a thing that was in the, you know, the go-around, the culture, about him biting the heads off of things. And he knew this, right? So he's at his performance in Des Moines, Iowa, which is the best place for these things to happen. And some kids had found a dead bat. For whatever reason, they were looking or whatever, and they found a dead bat. So they put it in a baggie, and they stuck it in their pants, and they brought it with them to the show. So Ozzy's up on stage, he's in character, he's doing his thing, and one of the kids takes the baggie out of his pocket, takes the bat out of the baggie, throws the bat up on the stage. And Ozzy, again, he's in character. Ah, I'm a dirty guy. He immediately thinks, oh look, somebody gave me a toy bat, well I know what to do with this. And so he grabbed the fucking thing and bit its head off. Of course. And, you know, when tissue and viscera started coming out, and the tooth of the bat, the quite live, dead bat, pierces his lip. He's like, oh, I don't think this is a toy bat. I don't think it's a plastic or rubber Halloween decoration. I believe I have bitten a bat. So he, I believe, finishes the show. And then is immediately rushed to the hospital to begin rabies treatments because he was bitten by a bat whom he had bit.
Gotta be careful, man. Don't bounce the bat back.
Right? Well, I just want to know if he got amazing bat powers after that.
Only if the bat was radioactive.
The bat was cool.
I did not understand a word of that mumble speak. What was that?
You beat me to it. Mm. That's exactly where I was headed. But I had a mouthful of chicken.
Mm. Mouthful of bat wing.
Mm-hmm. I got a feeling our bat wing tastes better than his bat head did.
Mm. Well, he was fucked out of his mind on, you know, pills and liquor and cocaine and God knows whatever what else, right? I don't know, was he a smack dude?
I think Ozzy was an everything dude. Always had his arm out and his leg up.
Is that a postural judgment of the man? You think he should have sat straighter?
What are you saying?
I'm asking. Since you're obviously being all judgy of Ozzy over there, arm out, leg up, make him sound like some sort of layabout. He's a hard-working dude. He had his own television show about his family. Did you ever watch any of that?
No, I really never watched.
Keeping Up with the Osbournes?
I think they just called it the Osbournes to begin with. Mm. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they're the ones who started that name.
Yeah. Hopefully it wasn't as insane as the Kardashian show.
Well, they certainly set a bar. I mean, Ozzy's fucking nuts, right? Mm-hmm. Although, apparently, he's kind of the sane one in that family.
Yeah, I've seen parts of it.
Yeah, Sharon is fucking crazy, right? I mean, just out of her batshit mind, right?
Definitely.
And the kids are, you know...
Batshit.
Well, they're kids. You know, when I was looking at the Ozzy stuff, I started, you know, looking up Osborne recipes and Ozzy recipes. And there are a bunch of Osborne recipes because apparently Kelly is kind of a health nut and has a monthly column in Red Book, maybe. And she often puts recipes out there for, you know, healthy weight loss ideas. So there was a squash soup I was looking at going, this could be an Osborne squash soup. But the bat wings, I think, was a better choice for an appetizer. All right, well, it looks like we mostly demolished that, mostly. So why don't we put a pin in this, and I will get to cooking our main course. And when we come back, we will talk about a convention.
And the rest of us can wash our hands.
Absolutely. Cheers, everybody. Back in a mo. I got to stop the computer before I wash my hands.
Oh, you haven't started recording already?
No, we started just now. So welcome back, everybody. While you were away, we did some cooking and preparation, and I have already pictured this delightful light lunch that you might find in Germany. So what we have is a Wiener Schnitzel, but it's not really Wiener Schnitzel because they didn't have veal cutlets, so we had to adjust.
They didn't have veal cutlets.
What so the hell? Yeah, we had to adjust. So we got butterfly pork chop cutlets pounded out for the Wiener Schnitzel waltz. And then we have a homemade puff pastry stuffed with one-day sauerkraut, bratwurst, onion, and mushroom.
Oh, that's what smells so good.
Uh-huh. And then we have a medley of new potato that were boiled and then finished in the oven in a butter parsley sauce.
And the beer?
And the beer! Ah, thank you. The beer is from the Barley Mow Brewing Company, the Unkindness Black Ale. The Unkindness. And they got something. Here we go. Named after a flock of ravens. A murder of crows and unkindness of ravens. Right? This is a beer that started it all for us. This assertively hopped, medium-bodied American black ale exudes a combination of woodsy and grapefruit hop character. Blended together with a complex malt backbone that has subtle hints of chocolate and coffee.
Oh.
This beer isn't for the weak of palate or heart. You can pair it with char-grilled steak, sharp cheddar, or hate.
Ah.
Simple, honest craft. Alcohol 7.4% by volume. So, a sizable beer, not necessarily a direct fuck-em-up juice.
It should stand up well to the... So I know this is not veal, this is pork.
Mm-hmm.
Did you schnitzel it?
This is a schnitzeled pork. Okay. So it's, you know, parsed schnitzel. I don't know how you say pork in German. Pork! Schnell! Pig! Schnell!
Only if you're in a prison camp. Come on.
That is one heck of a schnitzel, though. Oh. Now, it suggested you squeeze a lemon over it. Mm. So, I am drizzling a little lemon on mine all the way through because I am bold and daring. Now, everybody only got one lemon wedge. So sorry because half of the lemon went into the potatoes.
Oh, wow. That was a good sacrifice.
Mm. I should cut your potatoes, too. Are you trying to lemon right now? Or are you trying to get rid of lemon right now?
I'm just lemoning everything.
It all gets lemoned.
You couldn't have it. It's like chicken soup.
It's good for the soul. Good for the soles of your feet.
There's something wrong with this potato.
Mm-hmm.
It's all purple.
It's all purple and shit, yeah. Purple potatoes are the best.
Oh, man.
Yeah, purple potatoes are the best, right?
You have taught me the joys of purple potatoes, sir.
I mean, a purple potato is like a regular potato, but it's not purple as shit.
Oh.
How does that song go about purple people?
The one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a people. He's a people eater. He's not like a generalized eater among the purple people. He eats people.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if he is purple and he eats people, or he eats purple people, because the comma is in a very strange place.
I know he's got one eye and one horn. And he flies.
See? Again, it's all about commas, right? Is he a people eater who eats one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people?
Oh my god.
Right? I mean, commas are important. The Oxford comma would have solved this for me if I could see it written out in format.
I literally heard heads exploding.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like if there is a comma after purple, it means one thing. If there is not a comma after purple, it means a whole other thing. The Oxford comma, very important.
Shit, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Do you?
We were talking about
Nazis. Because, as you said in your homework, 75 years ago today, the WANSEE conference took place. Now, 1940 in Germany, they had a problem. Now, they had already, like, instituted, I think, was it the Dusseldorf Protocols? Mm-hmm. Right? So they had a control over the Jewish population within Germany. You know, a bunch of them ran away, and that was fine at that time. And then the ones that they stayed, they put in all of these rules so they couldn't breed, and they, you know, they were only allowed to marry, you know, to somebody of high importance outside of their faith. And then, you know, their child was considered a half-Jew, but it afforded special privileges if the, you know, the German parent was of a privileged class. You know, they had all this stuff, and they were controlling the population. And they had just started, you know, playing around with the gas fans. In Prague, I think, is where they started with the gas fans, right? So, their plan, of course, total extermination, right? But in the short term, they just wanted to, you know, have control of them in Germany and you know, run them away so that they, you know, had control of the Jewish population. But then they got invasive, right? The German population, Hitler and his proteges, the German peoples, they invaded Poland first, right?
Yes. 1939, and then, September 4th.
Yeah, September 4th, 1939, they invaded Poland. And they conquered that, and they invaded, you know, I don't know what, Czechoslovakia, or...
That's really hard. The puff pastry.
Hmm?
The puff pastry?
Yes.
Really good.
It's really good. I know. So I soured my own kraut. Right, but it's only a one-day sauerkraut, so it hasn't actually gotten a whole lot of fermentation in it yet. It's just had a day to marinate in salt and mustard seed and celery seed and
so it's not actually fermented
caraway seed. But by the time we put it up in, you know, 3-4 days, it will be a lactobacillic playground.
God, they were genocidal maniacs, but damn, those Germans could cook.
Right? German food is a delight. Now, it's hearty, right? It's heavy and hearty and filled with fermented cabbage. I'm totally going to regret feeding this to you tomorrow. But
why is that? Cabbage
is a delightful thing. fermented cabbage even better. I mean, it's only a one-day ferment. I understand.
Oh, I forgot to try the beer.
But we were talking about Poland.
We were.
1939, the Nazis invade Poland, right? Now, there was maybe 3 million Jews left inside Germany. You know, or the German conglomerate, Germany, Austria, Lithuania, Lithuania, I don't know what else, Luxembourg, you know, whatever they had right there. Boom.
Chicago.
Chicago, sure. Nairobi, whatever. New Zealand. They had 3 million Jews left in the German-controlled area of Europe. And they had a pretty good lid on it, right? They were stealing the children to work in the mines, and the anybody who had a job that supported the war effort, they could continue. But they were papered, and there's control of it, right? So, boom, they invade Poland, annex Poland, and all of a sudden they've got another 400,000, 500,000 Jews. Well, what do we do with them, right?
Got to do something with them.
Right, and new Jews are not as good as, you know, old Jews that you know about and have papered and stuff. And they looked at Hitler's plan for Europe, you know, invading France, invading Belgium, controlling England, moving into Russia, controlling the Ukraine. I mean, this expansive empire that Hitler was creating. And they were looking at how many Jews were in the area they were planning to conquer. And they came up with a number that was like 11 million. And they just didn't think they could control 11 million
Jews.
It's a lot of Jews. So they needed to come up with another plan. And Hitler tasked that to Goring, General Goring of the Nazi Party.
They needed a solution to the Jewish question.
Yes, they needed a solution to the Jewish question. So Hitler tasked this to Hermann Goring. And I think we should probably put a pin in that. And finish up what we got here. When we come back, we will talk about how they came up with their solution to the Jewish problem. Those Nazi bastards. Cheers, everybody. Back in a mo.
I know that things are going wrong for me. You got to listen to
back. Oh, let me and picture this, although I got a couple of decent shots of it while it was still in the pan.
No, you have to do it when it's inflated.
So dessert today is an apple pannekuchen, which we've had before. This is a slightly different recipe. Heavier on the egg this time, I think. And it left the cake a little wet, I think. Definitely more panny on the side of pancake than the traditional Dutch baby, which we've been having for breakfast once in a while. The apple pannekuchen has the fruit baked right into it, right? It's a simple, sweet pastry one might have at a traditional German luncheon.
Is it before or after you kill the Jews?
Well, if you get your Jew killing done before lunch, then you've got the rest of the afternoon to yourself, you know?
That's what you're trying for, right?
Well, models of efficiency, the German workers. They have a work hard, play hard mentality, right? Get it all done, then go, you know, fuck around at the cabaret. Smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey and, you know, pretend you're debonair. I love it. Beer and dessert. Just so something so decadent and wrong. Kind of like Germany in the 1930s. Or America in the 2000s. You know, whatever. We're talking about Nazis, right?
Yeah.
So they were invading other countries. They were absorbing a whole bunch of new Jewish population. They didn't want emigration to solve the problem because they were just going to go take over the country that the Jews emigrated to anyway. Right. Then they'd have to deal with those Jews again. So they wanted to come up with a plan to deal with the Jewish problem once and for all.
They needed a final solution.
A final solution for the Jewish problem. So Hitler had tasked Hermann Göring with coming up with the plan. What do we do with all of the Jews? Hermann, you're so smart. You figure it out. You used to fly with the Red Baron. You're a great man. So Göring, being the great man that he is, delegated. And he selected a sub-general, Reinhard Heydrich, and said, Heydrich, we have to do something about all of these Jews. We understand that there's like 11 million of them, if you count all the ones in Russia and England and France and Belgium and Denmark and Norway and Spain and Estonia and Latvia and where else haven't we conquered yet? Iceland and the Philippines and Hastings and this place, Bangkok, right? There's Jews, we got to get rid of them. You come up with a plan so that I can tell Hitler I came up with a plan. So Heydrich calls together 15 high-ranking Nazi officials, most of them academic professionals, worked in university settings, and said, we have a logistical issue. We need to solve it. Let's figure it out. How do we kill 11 million Jews? Because, I mean, you could go out with a billy club and just start smacking them on the head, right? But
they had a problem when they started killing the Jews. Because the SS, I guess, the death's head squads didn't take kindly to shooting people.
Right. It's not fun work. Yeah. You know, you have a gas van that runs around and you bring live bodies in, you bring dead bodies out. Eventually, it's going to start to wear on you, right? Yeah. Killing them is a morale problem.
Yeah.
Right? So not just the organization required to corralling and exterminating 11 million sentient beings who may not want to be exterminated.
I thought we were talking about Jews.
We were talking about Jews, sentient beings. Go so far as to say Jews have sentience. Now, I may be out on a limb here for some of y'all. People don't want to be killed, right?
Yeah, they have a natural resistance to being killed.
So resistance becomes a problem, right? The troop morale becomes a problem. The logistics of it becomes a problem. You don't have that many goddamn bullets, right? You got to save those for the Tommy boys, yeah. Right? You ain't got the resources to be, you know, fire squadron, you know, the 3 million Jews that you've got inside your borders and the, you know, 8 million that you plan to absorb over the next couple of years. A lot of bullets. And if we remember, you know, the Oscar Schindler, right? You know, his place was all teeming with Jews. And they started, you know, building defective bullets to hinder the war effort, right? So you couldn't even trust your firing squad. You know, what if, you know, you shoot a Jew and there's no bullets in your gun and the Jew goes, hey, wait a minute. He's going to come at you, right? I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So what they decided to do instead is they got these 15 academic professionals at the 1C conference and they spent a morning figuring out the problem. And it was a, you know, simple solution for them, right? Rather than kill them, they will work them to death, right? If you can ship 3 million people off to work camps and they think, oh, I'm just going to go and be interned and have to do my work, and I guess I shouldn't resist because they'll kill me, so I'll just go along and I'll get on the train and get in the crowded car, and we'll watch each other shit, and it'll be, you know, we're strong because, you know, we've been through this all before, and we know how to suffer, and it's all good. And so you get into a place where you work them 18 hours a day building roads or whatever, and you feed them almost nothing, and you just let them die.
Yeah, you feed them starvation rations, and eventually they die.
Right, eventually they die. Now, not all of them will die.
No.
No, but if you can kill 80% of them that way, then the other 20% that you do have to execute, well, they're definitely the strong, survivable, wily ones, right? They definitely have to go down. But, you know, they're in a weakened and broken state, so it's easy to trick them into an easy, you know, walk into the ovens kind of death. That's how you kill. Well, 11 million was their goal. They didn't make it.
They did, however, wipe out almost all the gypsies in Europe.
Well, gypsies aren't as wily as Jews, right?
They're my people, though.
And look at you. Obviously, you're easy to kill.
Just, that pretty much pushed me down a hill.
You can walk up to the end and go, buh, 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 buh.
You can do that 11 million times.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's much easier to put in together an SS nudge squad than an SS firing squad, right? Just give him a little with the shoulder. That's all you need to do.
Who was the guy? Heydrich,
yeah, Reinhard Heydrich.
He was assassinated.
Well, the minutes of that meeting were almost entirely destroyed, except for the one guy who was the secretary of the event, whose name was Martin Luther.
Oh. Not the Martin Luther.
I'm going to go nail my condition to the church door, and then I'm going to go write down more conditions. No, it's a different guy. It was 400 years later, Jeff. I mean, I know history all kind of blends together. Martin Luther was 1600s, right? 1500s, maybe? 1500s. It's a long time ago. Okay? Wasn't the guy who ran around with John Calvin. Different people. But there's a guy named Martin Luther, and he was the one who actually kept the minutes of the meeting and distributed them afterwards. This, you know, the ones that said, this is the plan for killing 6 million Jews.
Might have been a mistake.
Writing it down. His copy was the one that was found and used as evidence in the Nuremberg trials. So I don't know if Heydrich was assassinated. I know Goering was executed. Right? And he wasn't even there.
Goering took poison. He cheated the hangman's noose.
Oh. What a cheater Goering was.
They found him dead in his cell just before they were going to execute him.
Now, he was an opium addict, right?
Yes. Yeah, he had some problems.
I think it's fair to say every high-ranking member of the Nazi Party had some problems.
Why would you say that?
Okay, who's the sanest Nazi official? Let's just start there.
Albert Speer.
Okay, why is Albert Speer the sane one?
Well, he didn't actually kill anybody directly.
Okay.
He was responsible for some people dying because he was the architect, the Nazi architect.
Okay.
That built all his monuments.
I don't think that's a high-ranking official.
He went to Spandau. He was the last inmate in Spandau.
Oh, good for him. What about Eichmann? Eichmann seems like he was a pretty sane guy. Just doing my job.
Eichmann's
just pushing the numbers.
He's responsible for the cost.
He's just doing his job, man. You go into work. One day, you know, you're operating a machine press. And the next day, it's like, we're not building these, you know, flutes anymore. Now we're killing these Jews. And Eichmann said, well, okay, that's my job. I'm just gonna punch the time clock, go and do my work, go home. It's, you know, nothing personal here. I don't have any particular grudge. I'm just told this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm gonna do my job to the best of my ability. That's maybe that's a little crazy too.
You sound almost like an Adolf Eichmann apologist.
Well, okay. Let's say all the Nazis on a scale of badness running from, I don't know, Kid Rock to Hitler, okay? On the scale of Kid Rock to Hitler, all of the Nazis are Hitler, right? I mean, we'll go ahead and say that, right? But the least Hitler, right? The littlest Hitler.
Either band name or movie title.
Well, I think a children's book. Absolutely is the way to start with that.
Disney animates it.
Well, of course Disney would. He was a Nazi.
There's probably one in the works somewhere in the vault.
Right? Yes. The Disney propaganda cartoon is definitely in there somewhere, right?
Have you ever seen some of those World War II?
All you gotta do is recut Snow White a little bit.
And it's...
So the queen kills those fucking dwarves, man. That dopey gets his head smashed in, and the doc goes into an oven, and, you know, and it's a Nazi propaganda film.
Because the doc's Jewish, right?
The dwarves are all Jews, man.
You think so?
Look at them!
Yeah, the noses, yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that they were portrayed as the, you know, heroic support. But yeah, there was definitely some...
I think this episode of Doom to Read might have crossed the line.
There were 7 or 8 lines back that we jumped over willy-nilly.
And I blame Becky.
For not being here?
Yeah, for not being here to register.
She got sleepy. Didn't want to stay up for Nazi talk. All right, well, we have destroyed our Pfannkuchen. And I think we are done for the evening. So, Pimp the Show, our first season is yet still available for immediate download. Well, not immediate, probably take a couple of days for the emails to run back and forth and maybe load the thing up again because it's been a while. But you can get the first season, some 43 episodes, I think, a couple of which never aired because of technical difficulties. So, yeah, 45, 46 hours of bullshit like this. You can get for a minimum donation of $10, minimum donation.
Which is a bargain.
At twice the price. You could send us $20. go to the www.paypal.me/doomedtoreheat link. Send us $10 through PayPal or more. And we'll send you a download link. You can download all of those episodes. Other than that, we bid you good day. We will have a good week. You will have a good week. The world has not ended. We promise. Although, it's interesting that our inauguration happens on the anniversary of the Wannsee Convention. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Now, I know that every president gets inaugurated on the 20th. Unless the 20th falls on a Sunday, then they get inaugurated on the 21st. It's the law.
Started with FDR.
It started with FDR. And I don't remember which FDR when it was. So he started in 28? And then, no, he's 36. All right, 32. So the Wannsee Conference happened in 32. Was his first inauguration January 20th of 32?
I think it might have been.
Okay, so it was coincidental that we established the date of the 20th of January for the presidential inauguration to coincide with the Wannsee Convention that happened simultaneously with FDR's first. So all presidents since then have got inaugurated on January 20th, the anniversary of the Wannsee Convention. But this one, it does seem particularly interesting that 75 years after we've decided to, you know, set up a fascist regime and kill off a 100 million people or 10 million people or whatever their goal was, then we have this guy. So, as we said, have a good week, and we will see you next with more bullshit, more beer, more food, and more history.
And a little bit of knowledge.
A little bit. I said good day, sir.
Just cannot bear.